So good morning, church. I hope you have turned in the book of John chapter 17, because we are continuing then in our short series in the book of John chapter 17, as we continue to look at this prayer of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. John chapter 17. And this week we are reading from verse 22 to verse 26. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And this know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. So let's close our eyes and pray. Oh Lord, even this morning we still trust in you to speak and renew our minds, to speak, O Lord, until this whole earth is filled with your glory. To speak, O Lord, until there has been a revival even in this place of Olivan. Because indeed it is your word that is able to work. Because your word, O Lord, is like a hammer that crushes a rock. There is no heart that can withstand your word. Your word as it's been preached, O Lord, and the power of your Holy Spirit is illuminating it into the hearts of the people. May you work, O Lord, even this morning. We still trust in this word of yours. We will not trust in programs. We will not trust in techniques. We trust, O Lord, that this word is powerful, that this word is the one that is able to bring about the transformation, that the more it is being preached, the more we get closer and closer to seeing your glory. So may you work then even this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So brethren, we have been looking then at this text in the book of John chapter 17 as we look at this prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we looked at the people that Jesus was praying for, and we saw that he was praying for his disciples, and we also saw that he was praying for us who will believe in him through the testimonies of his disciples. So this prayer then, it is what Jesus was praying for us as his people, for us as we are sitting here this morning who have believed and who have trusted in him for our salvation. And we looked as well at the reasons that caused him to pray the way he did. And we saw that he had great concern for his disciples. He had great concern for us as we are living in this world, because he knew that there were great dangers that we would be exposed to. And there were great dangers that his disciples at that time would also be exposed to. And then last week we saw what Jesus desired to see the Father accomplished in the lives of these disciples while they are still in this world. What is it that Jesus desired to see happening in our lives while we continue to live in this world? And we saw that we looked at three issues there, that he desired that the Father may keep his disciples united, that they may be one, not just one amongst themselves, but also one with Christ himself and with the Father as well. And we saw that as well, Jesus desired that the disciples may be joyful, that they may have His joy full in their lives. And we saw what that meant, to have the joy of Christ fulfilled in your life. And we also saw as well that He desired that the disciples may be sanctified by the truth of the gospel, that their lives may be transformed by this word that we are preaching, that this word may bring about the purpose that God has in place for them. So this week then, we are looking at the last passages of this prayer that Jesus is making, and we are looking at the end result of this prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are looking at the ultimate result that Jesus wants this prayer to accomplish. That when He prayed, when He started to pray, what is it that He wanted this prayer to accomplish? When everything has been done, when all these prayer requests that He has made has been answered, what is the end result that He desires to see in the lives of these disciples? So we are asking our question then, why, when this prayer of Jesus was answered by the Father, what is the end result that Jesus wanted to see? Or what is the final state that Jesus wanted the disciples to find themselves in? And the reason I'm saying this is because the other prayer items we are seeing here, they look temporal, or they look to be a means to a greater result. Hence, I'm saying then, this week we are looking at those end results, or the ultimate results of this prayer that Jesus made. So then, in summary then, everything we looked at so far, it is building up to this end result that we are looking at this morning. And all the things that we looked at, they are looking at these things that Jesus, when everything has been said and done, wanted to see in the lives of these disciples. So then, from where we read in verse 22 to verse 26, I want us to see three of such end results which Jesus desired to see accomplished in the lives of these disciples. And the first one is the fact that Jesus desired to see the love of the Father in the disciples. Jesus desired to see the love of the Father in the disciples. So we see then in verse 26, Jesus says in prayer to His Father, "I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." So we see here that Jesus is praying that the disciples may have the Father's love in them. He's praying, He's desiring that the disciples may be loved by the Father in the same way that the Father loves Him. And in verse 24, Jesus mentions the love that the Father has for Him. He mentions that the Father has loved Him before the foundations of the world. He's referring to the eternal love that the Father has towards Him, the love that cannot be broken by anything in this world, the love that will continue to endure forever and ever. And then this is the love that Jesus is pleading with the Father, that the Father may give the same love to the disciples. Jesus wants that there may be this union of love between the Father, the Son, and the disciples. He desires that the Father may love the disciples just as equally as He loved Him. Jesus does not want the Father to just have pity, to just have grace towards these disciples who were once His enemies, who walked in the ways of the world, who walked in the ways of the prince of this world. Rather, He wants the Father to really love the disciples, to show His love to the disciples just as He has loved Him. He does not want the Father to love the disciples the way He loves all humankind, the way He has this common love to all people in the world. Rather, He wants the Father to love the disciples in this most special way, in the way that He loves His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus wants the Father to love the disciples the way He loves Him, Him who is the Father's only begotten Son. And He's praying that, Father, the love that You have for me, may this same love be in my disciples. And He's pleading then to the Father for the disciples to be secured in nothing less than the ultimate love of the Father. He wants them to be assured that indeed the Father loves them with the eternal love that He has for the Son. He does not just want the disciples to have the knowledge that the Father loves them, but to know personally, to experience it, that indeed the Father loves them. He mentions then in verse 26 that He has made known the Father to the disciples, and He will continue to do so. But this knowledge of the Father must translate to the Father's love abiding in the disciples. It must translate to the Father's love being within them. Because this Father's love must not just be a head knowledge. It should not be just an academic thing we know, that we read about, that the Father loves us. But no, it should be an experience, that as today's disciples, we should experience the love of the Father each and every day. We should not just talk about the love of God towards us, but we should know it. We should experience it time and time again. And that this love of the Father should affect each and every part of our body. Because this love must be within us. And we should be certain of this love, just as Jesus Himself was certain that the Father loved Him. He mentions in chapter 14, in chapter 15, that My Father loves Him. And He mentions that He Himself loves His Father. So brethren, we are not just those who have been forgiven from our sins. It is true that we have been forgiven. Rather, we are those who have the eternal love of God within us. The perfect love of God abides in us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That we have not been given an inferior love from God. Instead, we are given the ultimate love that God could ever express to anyone or anything. The ultimate love of God is within us. And this love of God expresses itself. It is a love that is expressive. It is in us and it must show itself. Amen. So this love is in us and it must show itself outwardly from within us. And as this love expresses itself, then people will see it. People will notice that these Christians have something that we do not have. And we see this very fact in verse 23, where Jesus says, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. But here's the reason, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. So this love that the Father has given us must be seen by the world. And Jesus is praying for the same thing. He's saying, Father, love them so much that the world will see that you love them. He's saying, love them so much that the world may see that you love them just as much as you have loved me. Because this love of the Father must be expressive. It must be seen. As the Father imputes it into the lives of the disciples, then this love will pour itself out. And people will notice that indeed these disciples are the ones who are loved by the Father. So we see then, Apostle John was so amazed by this love of God that he cried out in joy, having experienced this love that God had put within him. He cried out in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. He said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are." So, brethren, we must be full of gratitude because of this love of the Father. We must be amazed that the Father could love sinners like us. And he could love such sinners the same way that he loves his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must be in tears as we think that we deserve his judgment, that we deserve his wrath, but instead he has given us his eternal life. Instead he has given us the love that he has given to his Son, the steadfast love that endures forever. And then, having seen this love in our lives, then we must love him back. Even in our weakness, even as our bodies, our flesh is struggling within us, but we must desire that he must get love back from us, because he is the one who has first loved us. He is the one who has given us the love that he has given to his very Son. The Son who was pure, who was holy. And he has given the same love to us, although we were not pure, although we were not holy. But he loves us with the same love that he loved his Son. And then we must in return be determined to love him with all our mind, soul and heart. Because that is what he deserves. Based on the love that he has given us, that is what he deserves that we should give to him. Our undivided love in our minds, in our soul, in our hearts. That he's the one who deserves our love. So brethren, may the love of God fill our hearts, even as Jesus Christ was praying for us, that this love may be in them and I in them. May indeed this love be seen in our lives. May this love of God give joy to us, to our broken hearts. May we walk in this world knowing that indeed we are the ones who are loved by the Father. And may we know that indeed the Father has loved us just as he has loved his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the first end result that we see in our text. And as we move to the second end result, we see that Jesus desires that the disciples may be where he is. And we see this in verse 24. Let's turn to verse 24. Jesus then says, "Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world." So Jesus here prays to his Father that the disciples may be with him where he is. And so that you are not confused, remember that we said that Jesus was had just had the Last Supper with his disciples, and they were in Jerusalem. So when he says, "I desire that they may be with me where I am," he's not referring to that room where they were, because they are already there. No, because they are already in Jerusalem, so there's no need for him to desire that they should be with him there. But by saying "where I am," Jesus is looking ahead to where he will be in a couple of days, to the fact that he is leaving, he is going to the Father. He's referring to the place that earlier on he had told his disciples that I am going to the Father. And his disciples asked him, where are you going? And he said to them, have I been with you for so long, yet you do not know me? So he was not referring to Jerusalem, but he was referring to the place he mentioned in chapter 14, verse 2 to verse 3. Let's turn to chapter 14, verse 2 to verse 3. He says in verse 2 to verse 3 of chapter 14, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So by Jesus saying where I am, he is repeating the very same thing he said in chapter 14, verse 2 to 3, the same place where he says, where I am, you may be also. And where is this place? The place where he's going to prepare a place for them. So in summary, here Jesus is talking about heaven. He's talking about his real home. He was to go ahead of the disciples, and here he prays that they may join him there. He had already told them in chapter 14 where he's going, and that he will come and take them to be with him. And now he prays. He prays the same conversation he had with them. And he's saying to them, that Father, they may be with me where I am. So you see then, brethren, that the ultimate result of Jesus' prayer is that his disciples may be with him in heaven. Is that we, as today's disciples, may be with Jesus in heaven. He knows that this world is not our own. He knows that this world hates us. He knows that we do not fit into this world. He knows that we miss our real home, which is heaven. He knows that we have been visitors in this world for so long, and our hearts are missing our real home. He knows that we long for a day when we shall be back where we belong. So Jesus then prays that we may be with him in heaven, that we may be there on that day when we shall be gathered together as his disciples. He's praying that all who are his may be present on that day when a great multitude that no one could number, a multitude from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, on that day when they shall stand before the throne and before the Lamb, him who is the Lamb. When these disciples will be clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. He's praying then that we may be part of his bride that will be clothed in white robes. That new Jerusalem coming down from God prepared for her husband. He's praying that we may finally inherit the inheritance that has been set apart for us by the Father before the foundations of the earth. He's praying that his disciples may hear the words that every disciple of Christ desires to hear. Because there are words that we desire to hear on this earth, or when we pass from this earth, the words from the Father, when he shall say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. And then he will say, our Father, enter into the joy of your master. So he's praying then, Jesus, that this may indeed happen in the lives of his disciples, that these things may become reality. that all the promises we read about in this word, that all these promises may be fulfilled, that indeed we may be with him where he is. And he's praying that we should be the one who are called blessed, those of whom it is said of them, blessed are the dead in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds will follow them. So this then is the prayer of Jesus, that this world may not be our end, but that our end may be where he is. That this world indeed may just be a safe passage for us to be able to go into our real home, our home which is in heaven. Because indeed, brethren, our final destination is heaven. We know that we must enter it with much difficulty, because indeed narrow is the road that leads to life and few find it. But we are on the road. The road may be narrow, but we are on a road that takes us to that celestial place. Celestial place called heaven, where we shall be with our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Savior is praying that we shall make it safely home, because he is waiting for us. And this prayer that he's making, and this prayer that he continues to make for us even this morning, is what will secure for us safe passage to be able to be where he is. So then that is the second end result we see. And now we move to the third end result that Jesus desires that we should see his glory. So let's go back then to verse 24. He says in verse 24, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. So you see, brethren, it is one thing to desire to be in heaven, but what is the point of heaven without Christ being there? And that is where many people go wrong. Because many people in this world desire to make it to heaven, but many of them do not want Christ to be in heaven when they get there. Many people see heaven as like a holiday resort that does not end. They see it as a place where they're going to go and enjoy themselves. A place like when you go to Durban and sit in the beach and forget that everything in the world is there. Because people want to just relax. They like heaven for its trees of gold and its fruits that gives life. They like the fact that there is no death in heaven, and that there is no pain or sorrow or tears in heaven. But none of them love Jesus Christ. None of them want to see Jesus Christ when they get to heaven. But brethren, heaven is heaven because of the presence of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is what makes heaven to be what it is meant to be. Because without Christ, even what we think is heaven will soon reveal itself to be like hell. Because without the presence of Christ, heaven will lose its attraction. And the presence of Christ is what will make heaven to be what it is. So when Jesus then is praying, that the disciples may be in heaven with him. His prayer is not that we may go to heaven and have a never-ending party. Rather, his prayer is that we may see his glory. It is the glory of Christ that makes heaven what it is. It is the glory of Christ that makes heaven not to lose its attraction. It is the glory of Christ that makes heaven different from this world. Because without the glory of Christ, we will soon find ourselves bored, not knowing why we are there. Because there is only going to be one attraction in heaven, and that attraction will be Jesus Christ himself. We will not be attracted to the streets of gold. They are nice. We will see them and we will be amazed by them. But the bigger attraction will be Jesus Christ in his glory. We will be amazed by the glorified bodies that we will have. But the most amazing thing we will see on that day will be Jesus Christ in his glory. We will be happy when we see our loved ones who died many years ago, or those that we have left in this world, when we come together again. But that will not be the main attraction. The main attraction is to see Christ in his glory. Because we will be excited when we see this same John who has written this book. And when we see Paul and Moses and all other these saints of old. But they will not be the attraction. The attraction will be to see Jesus Christ in his glory. Of course, we will be happy when we are there and there are no tears and there's no suffering. And the suffering of this world has passed. But the one thing that we will fix our eyes on, the one thing that we will be happy to finally see, is the fact that Jesus Christ will be revealed to us in his full splendor, in his full glory. And there will be nothing on heaven that will be able to remove our eyes from Jesus Christ in his glory. He will be the one that we will look at, and we will not get bored, and we will desire to look at some more, because his glory is majestic. And that is what Jesus Christ is praying for. That we may not just be in heaven with him, but that we may see his glory. The purpose is that the glory of Jesus Christ may be seen by his disciples. That we who are his may see his glory, may behold his glory, and we may be amazed by it and desire to see it more. And brethren, the disciples of Jesus had seen the glory of Christ. Peter, James, and John had seen Jesus being transfigured or being changed or being transformed in his glory. They went on a mountain, just the four of them, and while they were there, they saw Jesus being transfigured in his glory. And Moses and Elijah came and spoke to him. And they were so captured in their imagination by this glory that they did not want to go back to their lives. That they said to him, "Let's pitch tents here. Let's all sit here. This is very good. But we do not want to go anywhere." Because the glory of Christ had so captured their imagination that they desire to remain in that state, in that place. They desire to see this glory continue to be manifested to them. And when they saw this glory, they did not care that this glory was revealed in this world of sin. All they cared about was that they had seen Christ in his glory, and it did not matter that it happened in a mountain. All they wanted is to continue to see it. And this is the point that Jesus is making here, that heaven is a place where his glory will be revealed, and he wants
this glory to be revealed to his disciples. Because, brethren, if Christ was to reveal his full glory to us right here in this tent this morning, then none of us will want to go back home and sit in front of our TVs. None of us will want to go back to their lives. Because the glory of Christ is the ultimate desire of the soul of man. So what shall we long then? What shall we long for as disciples of Jesus Christ? What shall we desire as we live in this world? From reading this, then, it is clear that Jesus desired his glory may be revealed, and that should be our desire as well. And we should not have to wait to die to see his glory. Instead, we should desire to see his glory while we are still in this world. We should be like Moses, who, having seen God the way he saw it, like no other person has seen God, who, having spoken to God like men speak to men, who, having seen the presence of God revealed in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, yet this man had a desire in his soul, the same desire that we have. And he prays. He prayed to God. And when he will go to a tent of meeting, the presence of God will come as a pillar of cloud. Yet his heart was not satisfied. And he prayed to God that, God, please show me your glory. He cried in desperation. Because that is the ultimate desire of the soul of man. Every man in this world desires to see the glory of God. The soul of man desires to see the glory of God. And Jesus here, he prays for us. That, Father, I pray that they may be with me where I am, that they may see my glory, that my glory may be revealed to them, the glory that I had before the foundation of the world. Because as Jesus was in the world, his glory was veiled as it were. He had taken a human form. He had humbled himself. He was still glorious, but in a veiled way. And he's praying then that they may see me before the foundation of the world, how I am. Not in this veiled form, but in my glory. Because he knows that until we see his glory, our hearts will not be satisfied. He knows that our souls were made so that we may enjoy the glory of Jesus Christ. And then he prays for us that they may see my glory, that they may see that I am more precious than anything on this earth, that they may see that there is nothing on this earth that should attract them more than me. And this is the end result of this prayer. That having prayed for his disciples, having prayed the way he prayed, that ultimately his disciples may see his glory. That Jesus Christ may be glorified. He's saying that in verse 1 to verse 5 of John chapter 17, as he's praying for himself. But ultimately, the thing that should happen to the disciples is that the disciples of Jesus Christ may see the glory of Jesus, the glory that he had before the foundation of this world. So, brethren, we should seek the glory of Christ then. We should do what Moses did and continue day and night to say, please, show me your glory. To say, please reveal yourself to me with the same glory that you had before the foundations of the earth. That the things of this world may lose attraction for me. That I may not have these small idols I have created for myself, which I think are so important, but that I may see you, the glorified one, as being more joyful, more majestic than anything on this earth. So in closing then, brethren, this prayer of Jesus Christ, I mentioned that it is a prayer that he continues to make for us even this morning. He is our Savior who continues to pray for us. He is our High Priest who never ceases to pray. Unlike us who sleeps while we are praying and then we wake up the next morning wondering what happened because the last time we were away, we were praying. Unlike him, he is continuing to pray for us. He is continuing to pray for these things to happen in our lives. And that ultimately, our souls may finally be satisfied when we see his glory on that day. But that we may not only desire to see his glory on that day, but that we may desire to see his glory even as we live in this world. So I hope then that you are very encouraged to know that Jesus Christ is praying for us. To know that he not only prayed for us then, but he continues to pray for us even this morning. That our sanctification, our transformation, so that we may become like him, it is something of great concern to him. And because of that, he continues to pray for us even this morning. That we are not left as orphans without somebody to pray for us, but that we have a Savior who continue to pray for us. And as we live here then this morning, that we may pray that indeed, O Father, this prayer may be answered, that we may see the glory of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you. Let's close our eyes and pray. O Father, we are thankful for this great High Priest, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who continues to pray for us, making intercessions for each and every one of us, knowing our weaknesses, knowing the dangers we are facing, knowing the flesh which is our great enemy, the flesh we are wearing day and night. But he never ceases to pray for us, that indeed, even in our state, we may see his glory, that indeed our souls may be satisfied, not only on that day, but even as we live in this world. So may you encourage your children then, O Lord, that they may know, even as they are living in this world, that they have a Savior who continues to pray for them. That they may never be discouraged, that they may know that he is the one whose prayers will be answered by you, each and every one of them, for each and every one of his disciples who live on this world. Encourage your people then, O Lord, to pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.